Am I on, Ed?
Yep,
got a green light.
Colossians chapter 1.
Colossians 1.
Okay, let's go ahead and pray before we read this. Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand your words. Help us to be people who seek to please you in that. We live a life of seeking knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And I pray you'd help us to do that until we see you face to face where our understanding will be complete. And we're looking forward to that day. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Colossians 1, if you follow the punctuation of verse 9, it runs all the way down to 17. So that's all one sentence. And the idea of that is that this is a prayer that Paul was going to pray for the believers in Colossae. He has a very, very similar prayer in Ephesians 1, verse 15 to 23. And it, again, is a long sentence. And an abbreviated prayer is probably the one in Thessalonians where he said, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified." That'd be 2 Thessalonians. I think it's the greatest prayer you can pray. So we're just going to look at 9, 10, maybe 11. And he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Notice there's the big three in there: knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." So those three, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, evidently, if we get the right understanding where it says spiritual understanding, this will please the Lord. And then it says being fruitful in every good work. So this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding will allow you as an individual to be a fruitful individual and increasing in the knowledge of God, in particular your knowledge about God himself. "Strengthened," this will strengthen you and I "with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering." It's going to take a long time process, but then the end result will be with joyfulness. You'll have a joy that others do not have. And then with that, we can give thanks unto the Father and so forth. Okay, so Paul's prayer provides a threefold cord of strength for the believer. A threefold: knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Solomon said a threefold cord it doesn't say it can't be broken. He said it is not quickly broken. So you'd have to take a lot to go through it. Okay, now Solomon is obviously an individual that unfortunately his cord was broken. Okay, but a threefold cord. Now, the key words in that verse, verse 9, will be knowledge. Okay, knowledge, if you look at the word knowledge, the first four letters, to know something. To know. Knowledge is to know. Okay, of the six great teachers you should have in life, who are the six great teachers? What are their names? Who, what, when, where, why, and how? 5 W's and 1 H. Okay, so knowledge is the what. Wisdom is acts upon knowledge. Wisdom is the how. Okay, understanding completes the cycle. Understanding is the why. That's the forever question the two-year-old asks. Why? 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 It's part of gaining understanding. Okay, in a crude realm, okay, knowledge is knowing what to pick your nose. Wisdom is knowing when you should pick your nose. And understanding is knowing why you should do that. Okay? You can put some of this nose stuff in, you know, or neutralizer in your nose so you can keep yourself healthy. But knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Okay? All three. Now, you ever notice that if you've ever gone to court or if you've ever dealt with a bully or a tyrant and they'll give an order and they'll say, "Do you understand?" Why do they do that? That relieves them of liability. A judge will do that. Read the charges. Do you understand? My response was, no. His response was, you must be an ignoramus, so I'm going to read the charges again very slowly. Do you understand? My response was, no. Can't move forward until I say yes. What don't you understand? I don't understand the nature and cause of this action against me. And when you answer it that way, they say, okay, we need to be a bully now. And then they'll take that gavel and make a big racket and scare everybody. And then they'll say, yeah, but they don't understand. So understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, these are vital. If you got all three, it's a threefold cord of strength that is recorded in a few biblical characters. And when a person has these three, they can't shake your faith. At least they can't do it quickly. Okay, if you would try Exodus chapter 31, there were two men chosen to be the brains behind the building of the Jewish temple. Okay, one was from the tribe of Judah, one was from the tribe of Dan, and that's kind of instructive in itself. Okay, but notice the characteristics that this man had in Exodus 31, and this is also repeated in Exodus 35, so it's a double important idea. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel. Okay, Beza, we'll call him Beza for short. The son of Uri, that's his dad. The son of Hur, that's his grandfather, of the tribe of Judah. And then it says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God. And the outcome is, in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. All three. Threefold cord. And in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and silver and brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. Wow, that guy was able to take precious metals and the energy from them and place them inside wood, carve the wood, and then stone to cover up some of the things. And this guy had such wisdom, knowledge, understanding that actually that probably was some type of an energy that the Jews had. And it's also interesting that most Bible people will put that temple in a rectangle shape, but I dare say that if we do a further study, we might discover that it was in a circular shape, as in the tents of the past. There's a guy up in Wisconsin that's kind of came across that idea, and I find that rather fascinating because it replicates the earth. Okay, but that's a whole different topic. Okay, another character, if you go to Daniel chapter 1, Daniel chapter 1, okay, remember that Daniel was a kid raised in Judah. He was raised in a royal lineage, born with a silver spoon in his mouth, where they had silverware. And if you take too much silver, you kind of become a blue blood. You might turn a little bluish if you have too much. Okay, and so Daniel was ripped away from his upbringing, from his culture, taken over to Babylon. They tried to brainwash him for 3 years. He and his buddies and these guys withstood the test. Why? They had the threefold cord. It's not quickly broken. In verse 4, he describes them, children in whom it was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge and understanding science. This is the first occurrence of the word science in the Bible. The second occurrence and only two occurrences found in 1 Timothy 6. This one here is real science, which is compatible with the scriptures. The one in 2 Timothy is fake science, pseudoscience, science falsely so-called. That one's incompatible with scripture. That's the one that Bill Nye will intermingle science with pseudoscience to deceive people. And he doesn't tell you the difference. So Daniel understood science. He had knowledge, wisdom, understanding. And then it says, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace and whom they might teach the learning and tongue of the Chaldeans. Drop down to verse 17. It repeats this. As for these four children, that's Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. As for these four, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in visions and dreams. Chapter 2, verse 21, Daniel in particular, it says, and he changed the times and the seasons. He removed kings and setteth up kings. He, God, giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them to know understanding. Again, the three, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. Now, if you go to Daniel 9, there's a fella, an angel by the name of Gabriel, shows up, gives Daniel some insights. And he said to Daniel three times, you are greatly beloved. Now, if you got an authentic airmail message from heaven and it says you are greatly beloved, would that not be an encouragement? Why? Knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Colossians 1, this is how we please the Lord. Knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. But how do we get to the understanding? In Isaiah chapter 40, there's times where God will say to the writers of the Bible, he said, I need to bypass you for a second, and I need to speak openly. And so Isaiah 40 to 48, God speaks directly. Isaiah writes it down. And in chapter 40, around verse 14, 15, 16, he throws out a question, and he said, the way of understanding. The way of understanding, or the path of understanding. What's the way of understanding? There's a process to it. A man that wrote about it is in Proverbs chapter 2, Solomon by name. Solomon by name. Now, Isaiah also wrote about the seven spirits of God, which I've overlooked, the seven spirits of God, and three of the seven will be knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That's a reference of what the Holy Ghost can do for a person. Proverbs chapter 2, written by Solomon. And what he does is he gives us the way to understanding. And if a person's life pattern until the day you die will consist of this pattern, you will see things. God will reveal some truths to you that he will not reveal to other people. Not that you are any special. It's just that God is reading our heart. And this is what's pleasing to him. In Proverbs 2, you'll see in verse 1, my son, if. So you got an if in verse 1, an if in verse 3, an if in verse 4. This is an abbreviated seven-step process. He says, if thou, singular pronoun, individually, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandment with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Notice the three, knowledge, wisdom, understanding. Second step, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, lift up thy voice for understanding, crying to who? Crying to who? We're praying out to God, crying. It's an urgency. God, I don't get this. I'm asking you to help me. Verse 14, the motivation. An example, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. So if you're in your backyard, you know, digging a hole, you're going to put a tree back there because you want to, you know, help the environment. As you're digging this tree, this hole, you hit something solid and the first thought is, oh, it's a rock. And then you dig it around it. And it's more than a rock. It's a little chest. It's a box. And you dig around it and then you pull it up and you open it up and there's gold coins in there. I'm hearing music. So there's gold coins in there. What's your response going to be? You're going to say, oh, ho-hum, I'll go into the house and get some coffee. No, you're going to be running around the backyard, but then it's going to dawn on you, I better be quiet about this. Don't call the IRS on this one. Don't tell anybody about it. You're going to be thrilled and excited. That's the same desire we should have towards knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And then he backs it up in verse 5. Then, after those three ifs, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Oh, we got there, three big three there. And God's reading the heart. He's looking for sincerity, humility, honesty, meekness, a willingness. That's what he's looking for. God desires each and every one of us to attain this. In Psalm 32, verse 9, he said, be ye not as the horse, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle. Where most people, they go to church, they get a little program, you know, popcorn, peanuts, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, stand up, sit. Why are we doing this? No understanding. None whatsoever. Okay? And, you know, in virtually every church that's going on, the Lord wants you and I to understand. It's a personal thing. Now, he said there's a way to it. And in fact, it upsets the Lord if we don't have it. Look, if you would, in Jeremiah 4, verse 22. The problem he had with Israel, the reason why the Babylonians come in, because the average Israeli did not have the knowledge of God. They thought God was a little statue. They didn't have the knowledge of God. You don't know me. And Jeremiah says that's the thing you should glory in, that you know God. Jeremiah 4:22, for my people is foolish. They have not known me. They are sottish children. They have none understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good, they have no knowledge. None whatsoever. You see? And so God mentions in Isaiah 40, and I want to take a look at that, Isaiah 40. If you want a portion of the Bible that's like a crash course of God, you go to these two places where God says to the writer, okay, I'm going to do the talking, you just write it down. Isaiah 40 to 48 is one of those places. And Job 38 to 42 is the other place. Those are the two places. Now in Job 38, God just throws out a bunch of questions to Job. Scientific questions about history, questions about nature, about botany, about astronomy. He just throws out all these questions to Job. And Job's just kind of getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. Your understanding is infinite. How am I supposed to know this? And then what churches do is they take a few, very select few, and put it in a little box and say, these are the fundamentals of debate. And as long as you limit to that, they're okay. You step outside of that, and the eyes will glass over. And it's like, haven't you seen this in the Bible? God's understanding is infinite. In Isaiah 40, again, the technique of God is to throw out a bunch of questions. Verse 15 or 12, he says, who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? What waters? The waters that are above us. The waters that are below us. Who has measured them? And meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him, notice, the way of understanding. What's the way? Starts with knowledge, and then it goes to wisdom, and it goes to understanding. That's the three. Now, in Ezekiel 28, verse 2 and 3, which is the main, that in Isaiah 14 is the main starting points of anybody who teaches on the devil or demonology or Lucifer. And it says in Ezekiel 28:3 about Lucifer, thou art wiser than Daniel. Daniel's a standard of wisdom, knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And he said, Lucifer, you're wiser than Daniel. So Lucifer has knowledge and wisdom. What is he lacking? It's understanding. Why? Because understanding brings in the God of the creation, not just the creation. Where people who are pushing climate change, which is a hoax, people who are pushing that are worshiping the creature and ignoring the creator. You can gain knowledge of the creation and wisdom of the creation and admire the creation, but understanding is you admire the creator of the creation. It's a different approach to that. A whole different idea. This is what the Lord expects from us. This is what he wants from us. So if you would go to Isaiah 11, since you, if you're in Isaiah. This is the seven spirits of God. This is what I overlooked previous. In Revelation 4, it talks about there's a seven spirits around the throne of God. Okay? And it's sometimes referred to as seven eyes. Well, we know that number seven is a number for perfection. So Isaiah 11, verse 1, it's a prophecy about Jesus Christ. You can see that. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Uppercase B. Prophecy of Jesus Christ. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord, so he's filled with the Holy Ghost, shall rest upon him the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So if you count those, the spirit of the Lord, one, wisdom and understanding, two and three, counsel and might, four and five, knowledge, six, fear, seven, of the Lord. And what happens, verse three, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. So here's the process that we all deal with in life. Okay, we were all taught something wrong, right? Sometimes the one that taught us something wrong was in the public school, and some things they taught us was right. In a public school, you know, I was very fortunate to go to a public school that had a Bible character as its mascot. The Lowell Red Devils. I mean, it is a Bible character. Okay, and I remember my earth science teacher talking about, you know, evolution. And I said, oh, I said, the Lord created this. He said, oh, no. I said, oh, yeah. And then another teacher is telling me that beer has a lot of calcium in it, that I would need that calcium. And I said, no, I don't think so. You know, so yeah, I learned some good things. I learned some bad things. Okay, and in church, I learned some good things, and I learned some bad things. And so what do we do when we have that? Okay, so here's knowledge. Okay, I'll give you a mathematical equation. So we're going to gain knowledge. If you can't count to three, you're going to gain this knowledge. Three plus three is six. Okay, that's knowledge. Three plus three is six. Or we can go two plus two is four. That's knowledge. So we all gain that knowledge. Do we want to argue about the knowledge? Anybody want to argue about that knowledge? There's a young man down at Purdue when I said, come on, 2 plus 2 is absolutely 4. And he said, well, my friend can argue it. I said, is he smoking a weed or something? Maybe it's not, maybe the things aren't jiving right here. You know, so we have knowledge. Now that's knowledge. 3 plus 3 is 6. What's wisdom with that? Okay, I have three apples sitting here. And I mentioned to a grandson or a grandchild, and I said, I would like six apples. Could you go get me what I need so I have six apples? So their wisdom will say, well, Papa's got three. He wants six, so I'll go get three more. Come back, and now we got six. That's wisdom. Okay, so that's how wisdom can use knowledge in everyday life. Understanding steps in when that person says, Who decided that 3 + 3 = 6? Did a caveman years ago go to his caveman wife, beat her by the hair, and drug her out? And three. I want three more. Six. I mean, scientists say about 50,000 years ago, man invented, you know, counting. No. I think there's a creator that said in Genesis 1, day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, day 5, day 6, day 7, he rested. In chapter 5, you have 8, 9, and 10. I think our creator established this. He's a God of math. Math is a pure science. So math is a pure science. So we could look at math and be admired with it, or we can look at the God of the math and step into understanding. Okay, another example, as I brought this, you know, this is the Board of Education, so I need the seat of learning. Anybody got that? I can put this on. So hopefully we can balance that there and stay there. Okay, there we go. Now, I'm going to give a knowledgeable equation that water, boy, I don't know if I can trust this, that water, certain water, can be used to conduct electricity. Okay, so I have me a device that water, this is a device that I plug in. And so it's designed where you've got the positive and negative is in the bottom of that. So if I have a volunteer, I'll plug it in. You put your fingers in there to verify that. Anybody want to verify that? Get an afro? Okay, no, my statement is that water can be used to conduct electricity. That's the knowledge. So let's try this one here. Am I a liar? Water can conduct electricity. What's the difference? They're both water. And I have another sample of water. So we got water that doesn't conduct electricity. And so this tells me that something is in this water that conducts electricity, but something in this water doesn't. Now I can take this water and put some sea salt in it, as in the ocean. So I'll take the distilled water and put some sea salt in there. Just a little bit of salt, shake it around. Don't want to get water in my Bible. And put my light, same water, with an addition of salt. So what is our conclusion? Salt can be used to conduct electricity. Now this one came from our well, so it's got a little more than in it. And this is low water. Right from the drinking fountain. What's in there? Calcium, fluoride, chlorine. Man, it's almost like a 110 lit up there. Something's in that water. My well water is not too bad, not as bright. And then we go to this ocean water. So in the past, was the ocean used to store or conduct electricity? I think if we go in the past, some things have been hidden from us. This is my water from our distiller we have in our basement. It's right next to our copper corn distiller down in our basement. Just kidding on that one. But so with this knowledge is now, if a person was pretty emotional zealous, and I say that water conducts electricity, and I put it in distilled water, and then he gets all mad. You're a liar. Okay, haven't we all been taught something we thought was knowledge, and we discovered that it's not knowledge? So what do? We have to acknowledge. Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin is ever before me. Colossians chapter 2, this is a process we go through. Colossians 2, acknowledge is a part of gaining knowledge. Because we've all been taught something wrong, and we discover, oh, maybe my knowledge was not what I thought it should be. So in Colossians 2, verse 1, I forgot which one's the distilled water. Okay, that's the gold lid. That's golden water. So in Colossians 2, verse 2, it says that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement. Notice, acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom, the sentence keeps going, in whom, in what? In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. How many scientists want to admit that? And since they don't want Christ, the Lord will give them a little knowledge, give them possibly wisdom, but they forfeit understanding because of that. If you would, look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24, we recognize that if you have a truth or a thought that is unusual because 80% of the people don't have this knowledge or they have a different form, you got to recognize that they're going to really be suspicious. And sometimes when you give them that knowledge, their eyes are going to glass over and they're going to walk away and say, you're crazy. Why don't you slow down and take some time and analyze this? Well, 2 Timothy 2 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. Okay, a false belief is self-contradictory. When you start to recognize that, deal with that, people, it's contradictory. Evolution contradicts itself. It is non-scientific. So he says, opposing themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. What is repentance? It's acknowledging the truth. I believe this was true. I discovered it's not true. I need to acknowledge, admit what I thought was true is not true. And I come to the Savior. Or I accept it. That's what really repentance is. Okay, what a person can understand from this little experiment, I would dare say that people in the past were far advanced than we are right now. I would dare say that if you look at some of the things around the world, things just are not what they appear to be. And I would dare say that with the ocean, okay, as the rain comes down, with a little bit of peroxide in there, that's what cleanses the world. But there's electrical things. And maybe in the past, these large buildings that I don't think man constructed with gold on the top and maybe some copper wires in between there, it was a harvesting of energy because water needs to be moving to produce energy. So maybe the North Pole goes down into the earth. The magnets pull the water down into the earth. It comes up underneath and it shoots out springs into the ocean. Job 38 mentions the springs in the ocean. So you have water constantly moving, creating an energy. And the northern lights, what color is usually the northern lights? When you look at the northern lights, it's like an emerald color. It have a variation of bluish, reddish, but emerald is the predominant one. And that's in the north, right? The northern lights. And where's heaven? In the north, above the firmament. God's in heaven. And what color is the northern lights? Emerald. I dare say that we're closer to heaven than people think. But Hollywood and the devil has to cover these things up, because Dorothy, when a whirlwind came in and her house landed on a witch, and she lands on a yellow brick road, and somehow she gets red shoes from somebody, and she wears red shoes and follows the yellow brick road to an emerald city, and you find out when you get to Emerald City, it's nothing but a bunch of hot air. What's the red shoes? The red shoes, the elitists know, is made out of the skin of children. And that's their catch to other people. So all this stuff, the devil is trying to counterfeit the scriptures, pulling us away from the knowledge of the scriptures. But when we understand this knowledge and wisdom, we know what to do with it. And then we look at the God behind it all. And we get understanding. And our God in heaven is saying, I'm so glad you've given me credit that I deserve. Because I'm the one that set the whole thing up. And the devil's trying to cover this up. You see, the natural world provides natural evidence of the supernatural world. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The things which are unseen are understood by the things that are seen. And so in Hebrews 11, the faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's all around us. Are we going to be students of God and do that until the day we die and discover some things that may go contrary to the norm, but Scripture might be backing it up if we discover? I mean, I think we'll be fascinated. You see, where the Lord Jesus, what did he offer to the woman at the well to get her thinking? I'm going to give you living water, water that's moving. And then what did he describe the Holy Ghost to be? Rivers of water, moving water. Religion and fundamentalism takes water and stagnates in a little small set. And the Lord wants us to understand that he's infinite. And we have so much to learn. And the more, the larger the island of wonder, the larger the island of knowledge, the longer the shoreline of wonder that we have around us. And so what did the Lord liken the spiritual birth to? The natural birth. You got to be born again. The natural birth is mama goes through the pain. Mama gives life to a baby. So why is not the second birth any different? The supernatural birth is Jesus Christ went through the pain. He died. He was buried. He rose again. And he gives eternal life. I mean, it's all right there out in front of us. We can see the unseen by the seen. But in that process, give glory to the creator of the unseen. Knowledge, wisdom, spiritual understanding, that's the goal that God has for every single one of us. And when we stay on that way of understanding, we please our God in heaven. We thank God for that. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to recognize that the world is hiding so many things from us. It's an amazing thing. It's almost endless. Oh, it's almost endless. They'll say it's one thing, but in truth, it's another thing. It's a sleight of hand. And the church has done the same thing in a matter of salvation. They've made it so complex and complicated. Why? To deter people away from the God of creation, the God of understanding, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray you'd help in each of our hearts that we have a heart that seeks knowledge, not just knowledge, wisdom, not just that, spiritual understanding, and that you'd be pleased with that. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen.